Welcome to the Hair Metal Rules Podcast, where we celebrate all things 80s hair and glam rock. Join us as we dive into the world of spandex, big hair, and killer guitar solos with your host, Big J. From iconic bands like Motley Crue and Def Leppard, to the lesser-known gems of the era like Lillian Axe and Babylon AD, we cover them all. So grab your hairspray and leather pants, because it's time to rock out with the Hair Metal Rules Podcast. How you doing?
I've been a busy boy. I can't complain too much. I appreciate you having me on here. It's fun.
Yes, sir. Busy is a good thing. Being idle is what gets you in trouble.
That's a lot of truth, man. I'll tell you what. One of the reasons why I started this whole thing.
Well, tell me all about your American Premium Vodka.
Funny when you say idle hands. I was in a situation where thank God I was able to choose what I wanted to do as opposed to what I had to do. Right. And I could have been on Easy Street, just taking easy, be a bum. And I said, you know what? It's really not good for me. So I decided to start, of all stupid ideas, start a vodka company. For the people that don't know, the name of the company is American Premium Vodka. I always keep a bottle handy.
There you go, yeah.
And it started out of something that I found disgusting. I ran out of vodka one day. I go to the liquor store, and I'm going down the aisle, and I see this so-and-so vodka promoting the greatness of Finland, this one promoting the greatness of Sweden, this one promoting the greatness of Russia. And not one bottle of vodka promoted the greatness of America. And right. I got to tell you, I mean, everybody's very familiar with Tito's. The number one vodka in America, so to speak. And first off, the guy's name is Tito, and they don't really promote America. Right. They just happen to be by default located in Texas, and they make a fine product. But, there's more to it than that. We keep our price at the right price, and we wanted to give back to our military heroes, the veterans that, you know, secured the freedom for our nation. And I don't think that there's enough that we can do to recognize them on a regular basis. I'm a member of the American Legion. I'm a member of the auxiliary of the VFW. And I tell you, they've embraced me as a family member. And I can't tell you how special the people that take part in those organizations are. So a portion of every bottle that we sell goes to the American Legion, goes to the VFW, and we do regular fundraisers with them throughout the course of the year. And I can't tell you, the idea that I chose to do this instead of being a bum, I can't tell you how it is one of the biggest surprises of my life. It really is.
Well, I'm glad you decided not to be a bum. You're too... You've been around too long and done too many things to just be a bum. I'm glad you good choices.
It's funny. I love taking a day or two here and there, but sure. After a couple of days, I'm like, dude, let's freaking do something. And I like being a part of the Legion, to have fun with a group of people that share the same ideology of raising money and for worthy causes. Do you know how great that feels, man? And sometimes. Sure. I sweat my ass off doing some of that stuff. But boy, do we have a great time. We party. We're a whole family of people geared towards doing something positive. And I can't tell you how that truly has enriched my life. It really has been awesome.
Well, you know, the veterans in this country, it saddens me to see things on television, you know, guys that fought, lost limbs, lost buddies. Yep. And I mean, they're on the street, they have nothing, yep. But yet, you know, our country has plenty of money to do whatever else it wants to do in the world. It just seems like our country looks after others before it looks after its own. And that's just calling it like it is.
I can't argue with that, man. And I think that stems from leadership. I think with proper leadership, those ideologies can be changed. The focal point of what needs to be addressed can be altered, that a direction can be given. In the absence of good leadership, of strong leadership, we end up with a result that you're talking about, my friend. I will echo that sentiment 100%. Absolutely.
Well, I love the whole aspect of the patriotism of your body, of your bottle, the eagle that stands for freedom. Your website is like you. I was looking at your website earlier. Just your website inspires you to be happy that you're an American. And
you see, that's the whole thing. A lot of people, I look at it this way. I chose this as my way to serve, as my way to put a little America back in America.
Yes.
You know, I think for a while their patriotism was at an all-time low.
I agree.
That was disgusting. It's horrible. I mean, when I was walking through that aisle to pick up my bottle of vodka, and I saw there is not one damn vodka on the shelf, which, by the way, is the most frequently poured spirit. So the idea that no one was representing America, I literally stopped in the aisle and said, do I have to do this? Am I going to have to be the guy to do this? So I freaking did it, man. I don't care if you're Joe's Plumbing. Make it Joe's American Plumbing. You know what I mean? And they say, what does it have to do with America? I said, we're freaking in America. There's 12,000 Legion posts nationwide. And you're telling me the most frequently poured spirit is vodka. And you guys are drinking Russian vodka?
Right.
It's like, how the hell? Let's put America back in America. In everything we do. Not just vodka. Not just this. But everything. I mean, our people, if people aren't proud to be here, then there's the door, pal. You know?
Yes. I sentiment everything you say 150%. We were in church. Me and my wife were in church Sunday, and you know the preacher. And I've told my daughter this before, and my daughter will be 25 next Wednesday. I said, Chloe, I said the world that you remember as a child is slowly gone. I said even the things I remember as a child are slowly going away. I said, but you know how you were raised. You can keep that spirit in your heart and in your mind and in your soul and just be happy every day when you wake up that you live in America, that you grew up in America, and nobody can ever take anything away from you unless you allow them to do it.
100%. 100%. You said it. And it comes from the people, but it's got to come from a deep-hearted desire and a common bond. And none of this hierarchy attempting to split, create division. They're successful. They're really smart. They're really good at it.
Yes.
But, you know, it's unfortunate that it takes a situation to become so bad for us to wake up and say, holy cow, like one of the, you know, it's crazy. This country was never more unified in recent memory than on 9/12.
That is good.
You know what I mean? Yes. On the day after, everybody had their flags out. There was no Republican or Democrat. There was like, we're under attack. So right. And people went like this. We came together. And I'm telling you what, man, that it's a shame that that's what it takes for people to freaking wake up. Instead of waking up one day and say, you know, this is what I want to do. And it's kind of interesting. The human race has a predisposition to only act under such severe pressure. It's like, listen, right. It would have been so bad if you acted a long time ago, but that's not the way we work. You know? I'm laughing about it, but it's really serious. Well, you know,
it's true. It's true. You know, you think, you know, the people that, you know, that we don't, this don't need to turn into, it don't have to be a political thing, but you know,
no.
I
no,
am,
it's an American thing. It's not political.
Exactly. But yeah. You know, what kills me is, you know, people that you know, want to run this country, they were little boys and girls one time. They ate hot dogs. They went to 4th of July celebrations. They played Little League baseball. You know, but it just seems like they forget. Were they?
You know,
they forget all that stuff.
I will agree it changes, but I don't know if they forget. First off, you can't blanket policy everybody, but I unfortunately believe that a large majority of them are led away from their heart.
Sure they are.
And there are certain stimuli or certain instances that are injected in their life to help encourage them go away from their heart. So you know what I'm Amen. Saying? It's not, it's all too often it's a nefarious purpose. It's a nefarious, you know, catalyst that really puts people in a different direction. And I think it's people of true character that preserve, that want to preserve that something. You know what I mean? Right. I mean, I did this. No one forced me to do this. No one said, oh, you should do this. I said I should do this, even if I were wrong 100%, and I still very well may be. I'm still freaking doing it, pal. You know what I mean? I'm proud of our product, and I'm proud of the men and women that deserve the recognition for preserving the freedom of our country. You know what I mean? And that is something we should never be obfuscated. That should never be downplayed, which I see happening a little too often. And I think that's so freaking wrong. So let this shine as a beacon light, and I'll freaking stand at the highest mountain and toast them till the cows come home. And they're welcome to come with me.
Well, this country needs more of the enthusiasm and the heart that you have. And you know, God bless you for walking through a ABC store or liquor store and saying, you know what, something's bad wrong here, and I'm going to do everything I can to change it.
I'm telling you what, man, it's just so weird. For some reason, on that one day, and it was soon after I moved to Arizona. You know, it's funny. I grew up in New Jersey,
right?
And the most I ever got to see, well, my parents took me around when I was a kid. Been to California. I went up north, the New England area, and then went down to Florida a lot. But there's something about the Midwest that, man, I'll tell you, I remember the first time I went with the band, and I was standing in Colorado, and I was at the foot of the Rocky Mountains. And I remember my parents took me to Yosemite, and I started to feel something there, but I was very young. Later in life, I guess I was like 23 at the time when I first went to Colorado. And man, there was something, like I said, I'm going to move here one day. And it was just so beautiful. I had a buddy, Doug Piazza, back in high school. Hey, Doug, his brother, Steve, was a Marine weapons instructor. And the first time I went out there with the band, I said, I'm coming out. He goes, oh, great. I'm going to teach you to shoot a pistol. I'm like, all right, great, man. So I went to a store, bought a bologna sandwich, bag of chips, and a 9mm pistol all in the same store.
Nice.
I said, how cool is that? You even have a store where you can do that in Colorado? You can't do that in Jersey, pal. You know?
No.
So he takes me up in the mountains, and he's showing me how to cycle. Yeah, okay, bang, pow, pow. And you have like a lane outdoors in the middle of the freaking wilderness. It's like, holy cow. And bang, pow, I'm like, yeah, this is great. Bang, I look over my shoulder, and a cop starts rolling up. I'm like, oh, I'm fucked. Oh, I'm so fucking screwed. Cop rolls down the window. How you doing, fellas? Have a great day. I was like, son of a bitch.
Right.
If I was in Jersey, I would have been down on the ground.
Oh,
front
yeah.
page headlines.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
But so I embraced the ideology of that's what America should be. You know, I had no intention of mowing down civilians or, you know, anything like that. I was responsibly shooting in direction with a nice backstop, blah, blah, under the supervision of a military weapons instructor.
Right.
And he was laid back. I couldn't even believe it, you know, but that's the way it should be. How come it's so different, Jersey versus Colorado? Why? Well, maybe now it's not as different as it was back in 1990. But you know, those are the things that stem the love for the country. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Seeing the contrast and putting you in a different place kind of brings out that sort of thing. So when I, again, walked down that aisle in the liquor store and I came to the realization that there's not one American brand that's representing America. I think that's also because I was living in Arizona, which is America. You know, what I exemplify is freedom. It's something beautiful. You know what I mean? And I was much more aware. I was a member of the American Legion. So I think my senses were heightened, and I found where the void lay. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's like there are certain staples within our lives that when we concentrate on, we bring them to the forefront of our lives, it enriches our lives. Religion being one, a belief in God and your country and your family, you know, things like that. And I think you start to realize something different. You start to look at things from a different perspective when you have those values in place.
Well, I'm so glad I grew up in the South. I've lived in North Carolina. I'm 53 years old. This is the only place I've ever lived. And I mean, I grew up, I would go to my papa's and stay every weekend, stay pretty much all summer long. I mean, I grew up around priming tobacco, planting gardens, going out to my papa every Saturday, but go out in the field and get a great big old watermelon and just throw it on the ground and bust it, and you just sit there and just eat the heart out of it. I'm so glad that's how I was raised. If you didn't go to church on Sunday, you didn't go nowhere else. That's
Yeah.
how my that's how my parents were, and I'm so glad I still have
That's
that.
instilling values and character right there,
Yes.
my friend. Bingo.
It's still in me, and I moved back to my hometown. We lived in Holly Springs, right up the road. And Holly Springs is like just a huge, like Raleigh, North Carolina. It's just huge traffic. And we moved back to my hometown back in July, and it's so much nicer, laid back, being back home. But anyway, I think it's great. Me and my wife, we're going. Whenever we can find this vodka, we're gonna get some, and we want one that we're not even gonna open. We just want it to,
You send me a dress, I got a special bottle for you, my friend. We actually, it's funny. Now I have to do the shameless plug. There's something really cool we did. The new liter bottles, these are 1 liter bottles. We got, I don't know if you could see it on there.
Oh yeah, we
We
the
the
people.
people engraved in the glass.
Nice.
This thing's a work of art, man. I'm telling you what. Kind of made it like the Constitution on the back,
Yeah, that's
and just
nice.
there that we try to make it something more than just
Right.
We
Yes.
want to make this part of America,
I say we want one that will never be opened, that we can put out and people will see the bottle. I'll send you my address. Like I say, I
Please
appreciate
do.
it.
Please
Thanks,
do.
Tim.
Jeremy, please do. Absolutely.
You were in a band named Trickster, and you guys still play.
Me?
Yeah, you were.
You kicked
I
ass in
remember
North
seeing
Carolina,
you.
too, my friend. I remember the Blockbuster Pavilion sold out. Warren
Yes.
Trickster and Firehouse kicking it in the ass. And
Warrant Trickster and Firehouse.
and more recently, this is really crazy. Somebody sent me a picture. It's on my Instagram if you want to flip through and check it out.
Okay.
From the Blockbuster Pavilion, they have a picture of me at the top of the speakers with my pants down, mooning the
Wow.
audience. And this
Nice.
is back in the day where people didn't have cell cameras and whatnot. So they had to sneak the camera in and they got it right at the right spot. I'm like, how the hell did you get that picture?
Of all pictures, that one just happened to get taken.
Yeah, and that was taken at the Blockbuster Pavilion in North
Wow.
Carolina.
So you guys came to be the most popular, unfortunately, toward the end of the whole hair metal era.
Well, the hair metal era part one, yeah.
Yeah, part one, right. I
Yeah.
saw me and my wife were watching Nothing But a Good Time.
Ah.
Yeah, I believe that's, yeah, it's three part special. And it's so interesting watching that stuff, because I've been listening to this music since 85, and I love this music. I think the 80s was, in my opinion, one of the best eras of time to have grown up in. The music, the styles, the fashion. But I've told on my podcast before, the first hair metal album I ever heard was Cinderella's Night Songs. That got me. I've never really looked back since. I do everything I can to keep it going. But I thought it was interesting in that documentary. I believe PJ Farley was on there. I believe was he was talking, and he said, you guys got picked up, went out on tour, and stayed out on tour for almost a year and a half, 2 years. And when you came back, the whole hair metal era had pretty much come to a screeching halt.
It's funny. They tried to make it happen faster than that. The weirdest part, and looking back, you start, whether they say hindsight is 2020, when it was happening, Our album came out in May of 1990. We hit on MTV around September.
Right.
With our first video, Give It To Me Good. Then did our second video that came out early 91. And when we did our third video, Surrender, I remember filming it. We were on tour with the Scorpions, riding high, doing great. We had two number one videos on MTV, filming the third one. The third one came out number two. 2 days later was number one for a couple weeks, and we died at number one. They killed the countdown, the Dial MTV Top 10 countdown, which was the most watched thing on TV. At the time, we were the last number one video to ever be played on MTV.
Wow.
And yeah. But here's the crazy part. I was like, hey, you're number one. Next week, zero. We didn't even get to fall down the chart. They just cut the chart, man.
Cut it off. Wow.
But and at the time, and here's the thing. I say it, we might have been number one at that moment, but it affected Bon Jovi, Def Leppard, Warrant, Winger, Slaughter. All the, you know, everybody in the genre took a hit, man. They weren't playing those bands that were the most requested bands of the time. Right. MTV made a conscious decision to alter, to put a shift in place. But the funny part was during that time, we were that Surrender video came out. just after we got cut, we were on the biggest tour of 1991 with Warrant, Trickster, and Firehouse.
Right.
So every night, it's funny, when we started the tour, we were doing a bunch of dates. And there were some nice-sized places. And then we had more dates. And then we got bigger places. And we did things like the World Amphitheater in Chicago that held 33,000 people, and we sold it out.
Wow.
I mean, so, and that was with no MTV support. So right. It was even growing at that point. And it's crazy. We're all these bands were on MTV and kicking ass, you know what I mean? Sure. And we're playing in front of 30,000 people. And at the end of the night, Janie Lane, the singer from Warrant, would call everybody out. We'd all jam together the last song of the night, and everybody loved it. And we put our arms in the air, and, yeah! And we're looking at 30,000 people going, how the hell is MTV not freaking playing us?
Right.
What the hell is going on? It didn't make any freaking sense. So believe me, they tried to kill us earlier than it even freaking happened. Yes. But I tell you, over not too long of a time, the tour had to come to an end at a certain point. I mean, the tour was the momentum that tried to keep going, which was very effective. And we were even adding dates, adding, changing venues to make them, to get bigger audiences. And it was working. It was just crazy that was being done without MTV support.
Right.
But I mean, we certainly had a lot of momentum from the support of MTV.
Sure.
West.
Sure.
But it was very strange. We couldn't figure out why, how. One thing, I literally pulled my manager aside. I was like, did somebody sleep with somebody's daughter at MTV or something? Oh, maybe he's pissing it on her. I really didn't know what the hell happened, because it didn't make any sense. If something's marketable and really rocking and people are electing to see it, how could you kill that? And now there's many theories as to why that happened, but that maybe that's a discussion for another show, whether sure. It was the private prison system that wanted more rap, or was the grunge era that someone made a conscious decision to change the narrative of where MTV was going. And that probably is, you know, more or less what it is. I mean, they still call it music television now. There's no music on music television.
No. I told my daughter one time, because she was watching Jersey Shore or some crap like that. Of course, I got engrossed in Jersey Shore too. It's fun to watch a train wreck because you really want to see how it ends. You know what I mean?
They were trying to copy what we were doing 30 years earlier.
Thank you. But I told Chloe, I said, I can remember begging my mom and dad to get cable at our house. They already had a cable box downstairs, but I was like, it was like $2 more a month to get a cable box put upstairs. I begged him. I said, you know, I'll give you $2 on my last. But anyway, and I remember it's amazing watching MTV for the first time. And I was mesmerized. I watched it for hours and hours and hours. And I told Chloe, I said, back when I watched MTV from 24 hours a day, it was music videos. And if you watched it enough, you knew what was going to come on at 2:45 in the afternoon, what video was going to be played.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, on up in the high school, you know, they had the Hard 30 every day at like 3 o'clock. They played 30 minutes of hair metal videos. Then it was the Hard 60. And then you had, of course, the Headbangers Ball. And if you ever got your video on the Headbangers Ball and it actually went to the Countdown or the Hard 30, you were on your way to being a superstar.
Yeah. And
MTV made a lot of people superstars.
Hell yeah, they did.
Did you guys, I've talked to some guys from the East Coast, and I never really realized you guys had your own Sunset Strip on the East Coast that a lot of people really don't pay attention to. Because, I mean, you had Soraya, you had Heaven's Edge, you guys, Danger Danger, Skid Row, of course, Bon Jovi. I mean, you guys were blowing up on the East Coast, but really the only thing that ever got picked up and recognized was the Sunset Strip and what was going on there. But you guys were kicking tail on the East Coast just as hard as they were.
There was a lot of bands, but we didn't have that car. That Sunset Strip thing, I mean, it's literally, for people that don't know, it is a stretch of road that all these clubs are situated on. So right. That, you know, and that's where a lot of bands cut their teeth on the West Coast. And you know, really went through, they targeted that area as to go make it happen. That if you can make it happen on the strip, you're going to make something really happen. We didn't have a strip of land. There wasn't this one road that had 10 clubs on it. You know, where Monday you were there, Tuesday you were there, Thursday, that kind of, we didn't have that, but we had what we referred to as the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and Pennsylvania is nearby too. So there were certainly many venues to play, but it wasn't all within, like, you know, a mile ahead, 2 miles of stretch, you know,
right,
where it was condensed like that. And there was just such, you know, there were such staples of Los Angeles society hair metal, like Gazzari's or the Whiskey or the Troubadour, you know, and it's all relatively close on the same damn road. You know what I mean? The Roxy. There's just so many. In a, locations per square mile way outnumbered, you know, what we had going on in Jersey, that's for sure. Right. You know, you have to drive for a while to get from each joint to each joint, you know. But in LA, you could just walk down the strip and go to 10 different clubs in one goddamn night, you know, if you really wanted to. And Jersey, that's a, you know, bit of a chore. you're gonna log some miles and you're not hanging out with them.
That's always been, if I could, I've told on my podcast before, if I could have a time machine, I would love to go back in time and walk the strip.
Because all those joints are so tight, so close, the strip became a carnival, where all these people descended upon that area, and that's where the community was. That's where the religion was being preached, you know, and that's where everybody wanted to go. That's where the action was, man. You know, it was just one geographical area that everybody descended upon, you know. So, yeah, it had that something that Jersey did not have in that regard.
Did you guys play any of the clubs in?
Yeah, the first show we did in L.A., I remember, was the Whiskey A Go-Go. And I got to tell you something, there's nothing like going to L.A. and seeing the marquee on Whiskey say Trickster's sold out. And that was really the first time we went there. We had some very strong support. Things were going well for us. And Pirate Radio at the time, 100.3, it was the number one rock station in L.A. Right. And they were playing us just about every hour. You know, and it was funny. We got into the hotel. I went into my road manager, my tour manager's, Paul Spriggs, tour manager. Paul, how you doing, brother? Went into his hotel room. And this is back in the day where the radio was built into the TV. Yes. And he had the radio on. And Trickster was on the radio. I thought he was playing it on his boombox or something. And no, it was on the TV. And he goes, "You hear that?" I go, "Yeah, I can hear the song." But he goes, "No, you see where it's coming from?" I was like, "Wow, it's pretty cool." So, you know, to make it past Jersey, that the novelty factor was starting to rub off on everybody. You know what I mean? Right. That the virus was spreading. That was amazing. And then the validation of selling out the Whiskey as our first show in Los Angeles. That was huge. That was so, it was beautiful. It was really wow. You know, it was something special.
What was it like to hear your song on the radio for the first time? Or what was it like to turn MTV on and see Give It To Me Good on TV? I mean, that had to have been just the coolest thing in the world.
Yes, but not to the extent that you think, oh, there we are. It took a while.
Right.
Here's where there's a difference between both the artist perspective and the viewer's perspective. Signing the recording contract was a complete pain in the ass because we had to showcase for all these labels. It took a long time, and then negotiations, and then bidding wars, and then blah, blah, blah. So when we finally signed our first recording contract, I was like, thank God that's over. Instead of like, yeah, it was like, the moment I signed it, I called my mom and dad. I go, we're signed. And I could hear them as I'm slamming the phone down. They're going, oh, congratulations. Wow. Like from the band perspective, it was like, what a complete pain in the ass. Oh my God. But everybody was happy for us, and we were happy too, but We thought it'd be this storybook thing. Hey, let's make a record. Sign here. Here we go. Nothing like that whatsoever, you know. So as far as getting on MTV, same sort of thing. You think, oh, let's make a video. Let's wait for MTV to play. There it is. Oh, my God. No, that's not the way it happened. You know, first we made the video. You spent a lot of money making a video.
Sure.
And then we go to MTV. Hey, we got a new video. You got to check it out. We're doing real good. They go, what's major radio doing with your video? And we weren't on those major radio stations yet. We had a lot of college, a lot of album-oriented rock stations, what they referred to as P2s and P3s. And we were doing quite well with that. But you want to graduate to MTV, you better bring some steam, boy. So they didn't play it for a while. And we're in the wind with the money to make the damn thing. We really like it. We're like, oh, shit. So there were some other video channels we got it to and got a little attention and whatnot. But then we went to major radio and we would say, hey, you know, we just got our video to MTV. We're going to freaking start rolling any day now. We're added real heavy at these P2s and P3s. They go, oh, yeah, well, now you're in P1, the big CHR commercial hit radio stations. And they say, how many times a day is MTV playing it? We're like, mother, you know. So, yeah, we were in a bit of a quandary, but we got a little lucky. And this took time, man. It wasn't like we made the video in April and then in May they played it. No, you know, they didn't play the thing till like August, September. But they started by, they gave us a shot. They put us on this thing called Smash or Trash. They say, here's a new video of this band, Trickster. If you like it, call this 800 number. Say, Smash, I love it. And if you think it sucks, call this other 800 number and trash it.
Yeah.
We smashed around 84% or something like that.
Right.
So by smash, you know, God bless, thank God. Our career might have been overnight, you know.
Right.
But we smashed in a nice percentage. That put us into medium rotation. They would play us a few times a day. Hey, how about that? So now once you finally go through that whole idea, seeing it on Smash or Trash was pretty cool. And then seeing the Smash at like 84%, that was pretty rocking. And then I didn't watch MTV that often until one day we were watching the countdown, the MTV top 10 at the end. During the course of the day, you could dial MTV between certain times, say, hi, I request Guns N' Roses. Hi, I request Trickster. I request this.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then at around 5 p.m., 6 p.m., something like that, they play the top 10 most requested videos of the day. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And one day, we're watching the countdown. Number 10 goes by. Number 9 goes by. Number 8 goes by. And in at number 7, it's Trickster. So we're like, what? Because we had no idea we were going to be on the countdown, let alone number 7. So we debuted on the chart there at number 7 for most requested video of the day. And that's when shit started to happen. People said, who the hell is that? And either you liked it or you didn't. But apparently a lot of people did, because just a week or two later, we became the most requested video in the country and, or I guess, the world.
That's awesome.
It was pretty wild. I remember we were in Ohio, the Newport Music Center, where our manager called us, said, boy, and we just got done with sound check. Boys, we need to have a meeting right away. I'm like, oh, shit, because just a couple of days earlier, I got busted for smashing a hotel room.
Wow. You were a hotel smasher.
Right. So now I'm like, oh, shit, what did I do now? Brings me in and goes, gentlemen, just want to tell you, you're the number one video on MTV. So when he said it, we were like, there was silence. Was like, is this real? You know, it's like, really? And then we realized it was. And there was, it's just very awkward, because it doesn't just pop on the screen and there you are. You know, out of all the time, out of all the waiting, out of all the phone calls, all the lobbying, all the, you know, all gathering support of the fan club and all the effort and the money that it takes to get you to that point, I'm not going to say it sours the moment. You realize the work that it took to get you there.
Sure.
People that are just viewers, they don't realize the work and all the time and the effort and the waiting, the anticipation, you know. So like, even when I got signed, I called my mom, like, hey, Ma, we signed the contract. Okay. And I could, again, hear her celebrating as I'm about to slam down the phone. I'm like, well, that was a pain in the ass. So it wasn't a pain in the ass. The idea of going out on stage that night at the Newport Music Center and saying, this is the number one video on MTV. It was an amazing, amazing feeling. And like almost, I remember Pete said it and like, really? still in a little disbelief. And even like when we went to LA that first time and that pirate radio was playing us, just about every hour, our road crew got some exotic cars and they took us out and we were running through the hill. I was with my sound man, Doug Cook, in a T-top Corvette. We were leading the pack and the other guys were in a Mustang. Another guy was in something else, Camaro or something. And we all had pirate radio on. When they played Tricks, we knew it was coming.
Right.
But when it actually comes on, and we were all together like family, and had that thing, and fucking in L.A. in a Corvette with T-tops blasting through Mulholland, there's nothing like it, man. There is nothing fucking like it. It was the greatest thing in the world.
But see, as a fan that just watched MTV and saw Trickster pop up there, I mean, excuse me, you automatically think, these guys, they're it's the first time I ever seen them. Now they're huge. They're everywhere. But listening to what you say, it's, things aren't always what they seem. And you got to.
Right. And that's the thing that, the overnight sensation idea kind of thing. They don't see that it took 10 years to get to that overnight.
Well, I have talked to people before and tell them, your album was great. And a lot of the hair metal music that I was even exposed to was when I was probably about 10th grade, 11th grade, I had my driver's license, but just a little radio station here in North Carolina at NC State University on Saturday afternoons from like 12 to 3, whatever DJ they had in that booth was a hair metal fan, and he played Leatherwolf, he played Hurricane Alice, Hurricane. He played stuff you had never heard of before. So that I would always put my Memorex tape in my stereo if I was at home. I would record it because, until it popped out at the local, it was called the Record Depot in Sanford, just a small record place. And they didn't get shipments very often, but, I remember hearing these guys or whatnot, but you're right. I mean, just starting out on pirate radio, you started somewhere and it had to evolve into like your Smash or Trash. I remember Smash or Trash's here at the Raleigh radio, big Raleigh radio station back in high school. They would have a Smash or Trash. And if it got trashed, they wouldn't never play it again on the station. But what I was going to say is a lot of the guys I've talked to, I really enjoyed your album. I thought it was awesome, but they're like, you don't realize that album came out 2 years before it ever got any airplay. So it took us 2 years to even get on MTV to get a song on the radio. And back then you didn't hear hair metal on the radio. They didn't like now. I got in the car yesterday and was driving somewhere, and when I was a teenager and you got in a vehicle and you listened to classic rock, it was Molly Hatchet. It was Led Zeppelin. It was, bands like that. I got in there and heard Looks That Kill on classic rock. And I think to myself, God, I'm dating myself. I feel so old right now. But,
that's what happened. It's for real. Isn't it crazy? I think the same damn thing, man.
It's crazy.
Welcome to the new world. We got older.
Right. You didn't really hear hair metal on the radio until the Every Rose Has Its Thorn kind of stuff came out. I remember you, the power ballads came out. Yeah. Then they started, you would hear some, you didn't hear Rat on the radio, that's for sure. You didn't hear Trickster on the radio, not here.
Right.
But
until you got a crossover.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know it.
That's what makes this, my podcast is never going to be nothing huge. I don't have a whole lot of people now that listen to it, but I've taken the attitude that I'm talking to people that I never in a million years would have thought I would be talking to. I never thought when I heard, one in a million or give it to me good on MTV, I'd ever be talking to you so many years later, just shooting the breeze, shooting the shit, chewing the fat kind of thing. It's awesome.
We're all here that share a common bond, and that's that we love this genre. That exactly. It has made such an impact in our life. And, it's funny, like talking before about America, God, country. It's a staple like that. Now, people might look from the outside and say, well, that's not exactly, it doesn't share the same values. And you know what? Kind of does, man.
It does.
We lived our life by doing something that I see as something very beautiful. All we wanted to do was rock and give love. You know what I mean? We didn't do so in a destructive fashion. It wasn't the breakdown of society. It was celebrating this awesome country in which we have to do this in. You know what I mean? I mean, it had very American ideals. It was about a party. It wasn't about some bands, maybe it was a little darker.
Sure. But I mean, to me, it's like what you just said. Excuse me. Hair metal was getting in the car on Friday night. Here in Sanford, there was a place called Kiddale Shopping Center, and it was just a long strip with stores on one side. And you cruised down one side, and you came back up. And you cruised, that's what you did. And you played Rat, you played Dokken. Nobody got in trouble. Nobody wasn't looking for trouble. You were teenagers doing what teenagers do, but it was all about music, sitting on cars, running home, making sure you were home in time. The Headbangers Ball would come on. And nowadays, you got to always be looking over your shoulder because you don't know what the heck's going to happen or who's out there. And it's a shame, but I hold on to those. I hold on to those. It takes me back to a better time and place in my life when I didn't have a job. I didn't have to pay bills. I just had to work enough to get $20 worth of gas to fill my vehicle up to be able to cruise all weekend long and just have good, innocent fun. That's what this music means to me. And that's why, on my IG page, I post hair metal bands every day. I post bands, obscure bands that a lot of people ain't really heard a lot of. And people will hit me up, man, I've never heard of that band before. Well, they're there. They're out there. Just it's good music. Give it a shot. I'm gonna keep it alive as long as I possibly can keep it alive.
God bless you, because that's the quality of individual that keeps this genre out there. That the people share that same ideology, and I think that is a staple of character. And
well, I appreciate that.
Like, dude, it's not a suck up. I mean, it's for real. Yeah. I think that's something we all share, and that's why we're involved with this whole scene. We love it. You can't ditch it, man.
I've listened. I can listen to pretty much anything. I like some country music. Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge Jason Aldean fan. I've seen Jason Aldean three or four times, but Jason Aldean is a country, but he's rock and roll. He's not your old school. He stopped loving her today, George Jones, which there ain't nothing wrong with George Jones, but Aldean's got a rock and roll aspect to him. He's got energy in it, but when it's all said and done, it's Rat, it's Dokken, it's me and my wife go to M3 every year in Maryland, and I enjoy that so much because I see bands that I have listened to for 35 years that I've never seen them play before. Because all this was going on the West Coast, and there were big tours that would come through North Carolina. You guys came through North Carolina with Firehouse and Warrant. I remember that. I remember y'all coming through town, and we had two little small clubs here. One was the Switch in Raleigh, and one was the Flaming Mug in Fayetteville.
Yeah,
there's so many big name people came through that little bitty joint that had a small stage and about four pool tables and a bar. That's all that place was. And if you were in Fayetteville, which was on the, near the military base, you either had big hair, you had no hair, or you were in the military. You know, but everybody was cohesive because you just came to see that band that was there. Like, you know, I can't believe this band is stopping through here. You know, but you guys went on small club tours too, just as well as, you know, huge arenas, and more people could get access to you paying $15 to walk in a small club and be packed like sardines than getting a chance to see you in a big arena that sells out pretty quickly, you know, because in a small town, you just ride by and say, well, who's going to be there tonight? And okay, there they are. Let's go get our tickets now. So you're such a great man. I have enjoyed talking to you, and I've looked forward to talking to you because you know what, sir? You are a patriot. You are what this country is all about.
Dude, that's right. Jeremy, I got a lot of love for you, dude. Man, you know, I come on things like this. I don't do a ton of them.
Right.
I do the ones that I feel, and when you speak passionately about the genre, and particularly this country, that it comes through without you even saying it. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying?
Yes, sir.
I turn down a lot of them too, and when you get the feeling out of the right guy, it's a beautiful thing. You know what I mean? I don't put on an act. I'm just me. You know.
You're a laid back, good man, and you know, I feel honored to have been able to talk to you. I want
Jeremy, the
your
honor is mine. The honor is mine. I can't
thank
tell you
you.
how much I appreciate it, man. And dude, the idea that you are carrying a torch for this genre, going out there and posting, keeping it all alive. It's guys like you that make guys like me. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Well, I thank you. That means a lot to me. Trust me. I want your.
Said this sentimental moment brought to you by American Premium Vodka.
There you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to see that.
Shameless plug that you got to get in
No.
there.
Hey, that's the hey that more of that. We need more of that in this country because this country is circling a drain right now. And
Brother,
we need help really, really bad. And hopefully things will change soon. We'll see. If not, we just have to keep fighting the good fight and doing what we're supposed to do, what we were
you
raised
just
to
said the
do.
word fighting the good fight. I said it earlier, and it bears repeating. Keeping it in the forefront of our minds, you know. I said before, nationalism more recently was at an all-time low.
Right.
And that's so freaking horrible. And there
True.
is also a conscious effort to incentivize that kind of action, to debase, to destroy American values
Yes.
by certain individuals.
Yes.
And I hate to say it, particularly with the younger generation, it's working.
It is.
We
You're
need to
correct.
do so, be conscious that that's happening, and number two, do something about it. So it doesn't matter, if you have a farm, make it an American farm. If
Thank
you're,
you.
like I said, Joe the plumber, if make it Joe's American plumber. Put America back in America. And I
Put a
think that's
flag.
only
Put a flag
fair.
on your truck. Put a flag on your truck. Put a flag on your shoulder. That's I hundred a wholeheartedly agree with everything you say. My
The
my my.
idea that any person out there is attempting to take a symbol like the American flag and claim that is a symbol of oppression. And you know what? If there's any truth to that, then it's our responsibility as Americans to do something about that.
To change it. That's exactly
Thank
right.
you very much. Yes. Hey, America certainly is not a perfect country. I
Oh,
never
no,
claimed
it's
it to
not.
be perfect. But
No.
we as people need to come together to make it so.
I
You know,
totally agree
not
with you.
be driven apart by ridiculous crap that's being spewed at us. We have to recognize what that crap is, get it out of our lives, and have the wherewithal to come together and make a better country.
You are correct.
And
I
I think a good,
totally agree.
strong leader can help encourage that path.
Yes,
Absolutely.
sir. Yes, sir. Let's hope. Let's hope. That happens in a few weeks, sir.
From your mouth to God's ears. Here, 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 here.
Exactly. Well, sir, I appreciate you so much. If you were serious about my address, I'll send it to you in Instagram.
Send me any questions, please.
Okay. I'll send you my address.
I'm not kidding with you. Absolutely, be my absolute pleasure. And then you got to do a review.
I will. Trust me.
Sip by sip review.
I will. I'll get my wife into it.
Extensive research and development.
My wife is from Louisiana, and she can drink me under the table. So it might be more reviews from her side. But
does she have a quick, even more important? Does she have a sister?
No, she doesn't have. She's an only child.
That's a single cousin. Come on, help me out there, Jeff.
I know, right? I'm sorry, sir. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I God bless you, and I love you, brother, and keep the faith, keep the fight, keep doing what you're doing, and we will make this country back what it needs to be again. If we want
Jeremy,
to bad enough, it'll happen.
Thank you very much for having me at Hair Metal Podcast. Keep kicking ass. Thank you, brother. Thank you
very
much.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Take care.